Hello. Am I looking a lot more tired? Generally. The wee fella's getting on well. Thank you for your prayers for him and for us. And we're here this morning. We're going to look at the book of Nehemiah. And the book of Nehemiah, it records a very important time in Jewish history. There was a great need to rebuild the walls, the temple of Jerusalem, and that kind of crisis was something that Nehemiah became aware of. But the same idea of rebuilding the walls, there was a need for the rebuilding of the spiritual lives of God's people. At this time, where we're going to look into the couple of verses from the book in a minute, but Nehemiah was living 1,000 miles away from Jerusalem. And he hears from a friend, he hears from somebody about the state of things, about the need for repair. Everything was in ruin. And at the same kind of time, about that time where he's hearing these things and trying to take it all in, he appears to have an encounter with God, a God moment, where he becomes so aware of the problem that is 1,000 miles away. He becomes so aware that there needs to be a rebuilding process. And it becomes so real for him that it moves him to tears. And it energizes him. So he cries, he wept, but it also energizes him to do something, to act, and to pray. And so he launches into prayer. It energizes him to become the man for the task, to make a difference, to get rebuilding done. That's what it energizes him for. And in 13 chapters, it's like a memoir, it's like a record of what goes on. So we begin today our new series. It's a kind of mini series about Nehemiah, and it's called The Good Work. That's taken from a little verse in chapter 2, verse 18, where it says, the people said, because Nehemiah went, he gathered the people, and the people said, let us start rebuilding. So they began the good work. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk a little bit about how we can be involved in good work, how we can all be involved. The first part today that is my kind of like responsibility to bring is the idea that when you can't take it anymore, in other words, when you're moved to brokenness, when the burden becomes so heavy, everything becomes crystal clear for you, and it becomes so weighty, you have to do something about it. When you can't take it anymore, it's all kind of coming at you. You realize the mess, and you can't take it anymore, and you've got to do something about it. Now, Nehemiah was an unlikely candidate for anything very much apart from serving drinks. He was very good at that, apparently. He wasn't a pastor. He wasn't a priest. He wasn't a warrior. He certainly was not a builder. He was a kind of a butler. That's what he was. He worked in the palace, serving the drinks. Basically, he works in hospitality. That's his role. If that was his degree, well done to him. Hospitality was his role in life. And the first thing that I want to just say to all of us, you know, God uses ordinary people. I say about hospitality, my son got a degree in hospitality. He's working, doing something completely different now. But whatever your degree is, whatever your background is, whatever your situation is, God uses ordinary people. I'd like to say people like me, but you may not think I'm ordinary. So, but I think, you know what I'm trying to say is you don't have to have a kind of a special tag. You don't have to. You just have to have the heart for it. You may not feel very exceptional this morning, but you, me, we are the type of people that God uses. And he uses us to bring repair. He uses us to bring renewal. Because sometimes there is brokenness that is not 1,000 miles away, it's very close to home. Sometimes there's brokenness in us. Sometimes there's a brokenness that is in relationship, in our family. Things might be in ruins. I don't know your situation this morning. And online, as you're listening, I don't know your situation this morning. Things might be in ruins. Stuff might need rebuilt. And it could be that it's close to home. I'll just read chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. These are the verses where Nehemiah is informed about what's going on. Hananiah, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, "Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire." It's a bleak summary. Trouble and disgrace. Things that were once strong are now lying ruined. And it seems like an impossible situation. And then we read in verse 4, Nehemiah is moved to tears. "When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." Nehemiah was being really challenged about what was now clear to him. What he was now really, really aware of, and it was breaking his heart. Remember, he's 1,000 miles away. He's living a pretty comfortable life. He doesn't have to respond. He doesn't have to get involved. He gets the picture, but he still has choices. My simple prayer this morning is, as I speak, I'm asking God to just work and to, so that whatever your situation is, you're listening online or you're here, that you get the picture. Your own situation, your own family, your own circumstances, whatever it is that God is just making crystal clear. You get the picture, but you still have choices. And Nehemiah, he knows he doesn't have to get involved, but he is moved to tears and to pray and to take some action. But it begins with this little phrase, "I sat down and wept." Ultimately, he made a choice. He chose to let the pain in. Into his heart, like an ache in his soul, a burden, the weight that he felt. He may have known these things for a long time. He may have heard other people talking about it. He may have realized what was going on. He might have had information previously. But there comes this point where God makes things crystal clear. Things are broken. And he wept. He sat down. He broke down. I remember my first experience of that kind of thing, where I felt really weighed down, where I felt really burdened by something and broken by it. I was about 20 years old. Well, not about, I was 20 years old. I was in Bible college, and it's about 6 weeks into the course, and it was the early morning prayer meeting. And we all had to be at the early morning prayer meeting. And it was before breakfast. It was usually mundane. It was pretty boring. And it was on that morning that I felt a real sense of God in the room. Where I just felt his call on my life. I began to feel real concern. Not so much about myself and not about the country or the nation, but I felt real concern about church and churches and church life. And I became so aware, it became almost clear to me that it wasn't what it should be. There was weakness, it was tepid, it was not great, it wasn't what it should be. It was like it wasn't good enough, it wasn't enough. And it felt like a pain that was in me. It felt like and I just began to cry. I mean, I had been taken to church as a baby, made a decision early in life, going to church, ended up in Bible college, probably as a bit of an escape. And I'm in this boring prayer meeting, and God turns up. And I begin to cry. And it felt like real pain. And I knew, if I reflect on it, I knew it was a challenge to me. Not to blame somebody else, but a challenge to me. To personally change. To personally do something. To take some sort of responsibility. Now, I had this vision of worldwide church everywhere being not so good, not as good as it was. And I had no idea what I was going to do, no idea what was God had in mind or anything. But, I mean, I was 20 years old. I was a total greenhorn. I was naive, really, just a boy. But in this boring prayer meeting where most of the others were thinking about their breakfast, I cried and I sobbed, and I remember it with clarity to this day. I was so aware that walls needed rebuilt, that God's house needed renewed, that God's people needed revived. But I was aware that if there was a beginning to it, it was in me. It happened. It had to happen to me, in me. And I would say, what is it? What is it that crushes your spirit? What is it that breaks your heart? That causes you to feel so upset to the point that it's painful? What do you do when you can't take it anymore? And it might be church. It might be the community. It might be Motherwell. This morning, God just working to give us clarity in our hearts. It might be what you see on television, Ukraine, 1,000 miles away maybe, I don't know. It might be your own spiritual condition, your relationships, your marriage. What is it that breaks your heart? Nehemiah 1 verse 4, I sat down and wept. Little verse in the book of John in the New Testament where Jesus is dealing with grief. His friend Lazarus has died. And even although Jesus knows, you know, he knows what he's going to do, he knows what's going to happen, Lazarus is going to live again. The Bible informs us Jesus wept. And John writes about Jesus in ways that inform us about his compassion, sometimes his anger, sometimes his frustration. But here in this, in chapter 11, verse 35, I think, it's this deep emotion, Jesus wept. What about us? Do we always have confidence to express our true feelings? Can we do that? Are we okay with that, expressing our true feelings? We need to remember that emotions are not feminine, and nor are they masculine. Emotions are human. It's a simple truth, but it needs to be kind of recalled and remembered, and where we're allowed. Because tears can be expressions of love, pain, joy, relief, repentance. But importantly, they can be indicators of particular moments. For me, it was like something, when I was 20 years old, I was crying. I didn't know. Something was happening, special time, a God moment. And tears can allow for that. It's like a flag waving where God is working in such a way where we've become so aware, so concerned about brokenness. Where you just can't take it anymore. Where you feel the burden and you let the pain in. And we let that pain in. And again, I want to repeat this because it's so easy to do the wrong thing here. We let the pain in, and then what we want to do is we want to attribute blame to somebody else. And that's not why God is working that way. He's working to change me. He's working to change you. He's working with ordinary folks so that there can be renewal, so that there can be revival, so that walls can be rebuilt. Taking responsibility for change. Nehemiah, I sat down and wept. And your feelings expressed before God, they are not just valid, they are precious. Precious feelings. Now, you know, sometimes I cry in church. You've seen a little bit almost this morning, right? You know that. Out there, if you didn't know, you know now. I don't really cry in Morrison's. It's getting close with the prices, I think. I don't really cry in Tesco's. Other supermarkets are available. But in church, in worship, when I preach, I can hear Rena. Rena says, don't cry again. That's her instruction for my whole life. Don't cry again. My kids, one of my boys will listen to, the others may tune in at some point. My kids make fun of me. And it's not that they ridicule, but we laugh together about it. It's okay. My problem is my head is connected to my heart and to my eyes and to my nose. And all sorts of things start happening. But I'm delighted to read verses like when Nehemiah says, I sat down and wept. Where I read, Jesus wept. Because, of course, we live in a world where there is a cultural stereotype about men. We don't cry. Well, Nehemiah did, so yeah, but we don't cry. Stereotypically, we are hormone-driven, hedonistic. We are like emotional deserts, like vacuums that suck everything in and show nothing. That's stereotypically, right? We are easily violent. We are usually arrogant. We are often promiscuous, always competitive, and generally idiotic. That's your stereotype. That is your stereotypical man. If I have to choose one as a label, I would like to be generally idiotic. And at some point in my life, I've probably expressed some of those other things, and therefore, we're given some sort of label that we don't have to live by. Because the idea is still promoted that it's fathers that energize and that challenge, and mothers that soothe and heal. That the man of the house is a chivalrous knight, and the lady, any ladies around, well, they're just damsels in distress. Guys, breadwinners, selfish, chauvinistic. Girls, nest builders, submissive, sensitive. But living with stereotype can cause all sorts of conflict and misunderstanding to the degree that it's just hard to be you. It's just hard to be yourself and to express feeling. And so there is a dysfunctional masculinity that is marked by emotional repression and this struggle for control, conquest, domination, a kind of king of the hill mentality. And almost every day we read some other star who's on the news because they've been expressed in that way and they've been taken to task over it and everything. But it's just out there. And so in church life, in Christ, in church, the challenge is for us is to present a godly alternative. Because maybe even this morning we're living with some sort of mindset. And maybe why you don't come to church, you know, guys out there, maybe a reason why you don't is real men never do church. And if they do, because there's a few guys in here, real men never sing in worship, never take part with what's going on. Real men would, no. You know, no, none of that. I'm just going to listen. And if they do get caught singing, real men never express emotion. But then comes the moment where God turns up. And whispers in your heart the stuff that needs to be fixed. There's areas that need to be repaired. There might even be trouble, disgrace, I don't know. Things might be in tatters, might be in ruins. God makes it clear things, stuff needs rebuilding. And yes, it might be Ukraine, 1,000 miles away. God whispers in your heart about Ukraine. But it might be your kin. Not Ukraine, but your kin, your family. Not 1,000 miles, just under the same roof. What is it that breaks your heart? You kind of been living with it. It's kind of been just trucking along. But what is it this morning? God whispers into your heart, it needs fixed. It needs repaired. Take some responsibility. Do something this morning. Feel that sense of God just urging you. Nehemiah, he sat down and he cried. Something just began in that moment to be changed. Affected hundreds, thousands of other people. But for him, it was that moment where change was beginning to happen. What is it that breaks your heart? What do you do when you can't take it anymore? I sat down and wept. Brokenness needs fixed. Repairs need to be made. What is God showing you today? Remember this. It only breaks your heart if you make the choice to let the pain in. It only breaks your heart then. I'm going to ask the band just to come and play for us. We're going to just close our eyes as they come. Just close your eyes. Just begin to get that sense of God's presence here. I'm going to ask Jim to just start playing a little bit of something. What is it that needs fixed? You know that God is speaking. You know it. You hear the whisper in your heart. What is it that just gets you to that point now where you can't take it anymore? You want to just have things turned around. You want things to be different. Might be your own spiritual situation. It might be your relationships. It could be absolutely anything, but God has focused. God is just touching an area this morning that you can just respond to. And you can let the pain in. You can let tears flow if they need to, because it's a safe place. But just allow the change to begin. Allow the change to begin. Let it begin today. Let things be renewed from today. Let things be rebuilt. Let there be an overwhelming sense of it's better. Things are improving. I pray now for my brothers and sisters here this morning. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to express our feelings, to be able to be free in your house, to be able to talk to you and share stuff with you, Lord. And Lord, help us to be just the people that you have called us to be. We're ordinary folks, Lord, But if we need to turn things around, help us to do that this morning. Help us to get to that point where things can transition, where things can move on, where we in ourselves can feel better because we've taken some responsibility. Help us this morning. And as we worship together, Lord, as we sing together, help us again to be free. Help us to be aware of how free. If the sun sets you are free indeed. Help us, Lord, to be all that you have called us to be as we worship you together. Bless us, help us, in Jesus' name. Amen.